Welcome to the Mending Trauma Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Hoyt, and along with my sister, Lena Hoyt, a licensed marriage and family therapist, we want to help you recover from trauma, whether it's childhood trauma, complex trauma, PTSD, or any other trauma sustained from abuse or narcissistic relationships. We want to help you develop skills and ways that can help you to recover from the symptoms and the effects of trauma. We are so glad you're here. Let's dive in. Hi, Amy here. Are you feeling stuck or overwhelmed by things that pop up in your daily life? And perhaps these are because of past traumas or toxic stress? Have you tried traditional therapy and found that it wasn't enough? I know that was the case for me. That's why we developed the Whole Health Lab. Mending Trauma has put together a program that combines the latest research with proven methods to help you recover from trauma and move forward from these daily stressors and triggers. We use somatic therapy, EMDR, cognitive behavioral therapy, and internal family systems therapy. We use nervous system regulation and many other tools so that we can combine the best methods that are identified in the research to help you recover without being completely overwhelmed. So you can work on trauma on your own pace, your own time, and still with the mentorship and support of a highly trained, certified staff. That's us. No more waiting for appointments or sitting in traffic, driving to see a therapist. With our online program, the Whole Health Lab, you can access it from anywhere, anytime, even on an app. Visit mendingtrauma.com/Whole Health Lab and learn more. Get your questions answered. We've got a frequently asked questions section and sign up so that you can have this life-changing program in your world today. Don't let your past hold you back any longer. Take control of your future, and we can't wait to see you in the Whole Health Lab. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. We are so excited that it is May and it is Mental Health Awareness Month here in the U.S. And we, of course, this is our favorite topic, mental health. But today we're going to talk about how trauma, new research is actually showing that trauma is a root cause of a lot of mental health issues. So we're going to dive in.
Yes, I'm excited about this topic, Amy. We started hearing a little bit about this probably several years ago. And I remember attending a training by Bessel van der Kolk and hearing his thoughts about how early childhood trauma has a link to later mental health diagnoses in adulthood. And we know that difficult events and the loss of a parent, any kind of maltreatment, bullying, all of those things can affect us. But there is more research being done that shows that there may be a causal effect. And I think that's fascinating and helpful.
Absolutely. And so the topic that's been, I would say, researched the most is how trauma affects our predisposition to addiction, and specifically substance abuse. So there's lots of addictions, you know, there's sex, love, drugs, alcohol, but the literature is pretty clear that early childhood trauma and developmental trauma is linked to a higher rate of substance abuse and addiction. And to me, that makes perfect sense because when we do experience trauma and we, you know, that need for protection / safety and that need for connection get wired together, it becomes very, very difficult to create a home environment for, at least this is how I felt as a child. The home didn't feel safe, didn't feel like it was a place of protection. Therefore, I needed an escape. And, you know, alcohol and drugs were such a perfect escape from that constant pulling, I would say, that constant sense of stress.
Yes. Well, and I think about the emotional dysregulation that accompanies trauma. And if you look at the ACEs study and the impact of those adverse childhood events, we know that when some of those things happen to us, it's hard sometimes to move past them. And even if you logically think you've moved past them, your body has a memory of some of those things. And so to be in a dysregulated, highly alert or depressed state is so painful that the use of substances or a process addiction like gambling or sex or love, those become something to escape to. And it makes perfect sense.
It does. It really does. And so beyond substance abuse, when we're looking at diagnosis in the DSM-5, there is also literature that links early childhood trauma to borderline personality disorder, depression, anxiety, OCD, bipolar. And so we've see a link, but what we're starting to see in the field of trauma is more of an understanding that not only is there a link, if you have early childhood trauma, you're 15 times more likely to be diagnosed with borderline personality disorder. Okay, we see that link. But what we're starting to see in our subfield of trauma is that there is an understanding that early trauma can cause this sort of symptomology that leads to these diagnoses.
Yes, yes. And I think that is something that can be profoundly helpful for healing. Last week's episode, when Lauren joined us and talked about how even if you don't see yourself as having big T trauma, some horrific event, that things have happened to us that have left us with thoughts and perceptions about ourselves or the world, and those get in our way. And they get stored in the body, and they alter the way our brain works and how it processes emotions and memory and that kind of thing. And understanding that becomes a gateway into pursuing effective treatment for whatever it is that you're dealing with.
When we talk about pursuing treatment, we know that here in the U.S., treatment is largely dictated by what is billable to insurance companies. And the DSM-5 is the diagnostic manual that practitioners use to code certain clusters of symptoms that have been given names, such as bipolar and personality disorder and PTSD, and those codes are used to get reimbursed for services. And so just to call out that the DSM-5 is not perfect. It's missing a lot. In fact, there is no, childhood trauma diagnosis within the DSM-5. There is PTSD. But complex trauma is not a recognized diagnosis in the DSM-5, yet practitioners know that this is a huge portion of people who have childhood trauma have complex trauma. So we're working in a system that is about billable codes and is largely dictated by what insurance companies are willing to pay for. Of course, based on this manual that is put together largely by clinical psychologists. So it's not like the manual's made up and has no efficacy. It actually has a lot of important information and important diagnoses. But what we're trying to kind of draw attention to is that it's a very slow process to get trauma introduced into the DSM. It has been. You can read The Body Keeps the Score by Bessel van der Kolk to kind of see the history of that process and how so far those attempts have failed to get trauma entered into the diagnostic manual. But also, there's a lot of us in this field who truly believe that these clusters of symptoms in this manual are all different symptoms of trauma.
I can remember the first time I was introduced to this concept concretely, and it was in California. I think it was a training in Folsom that was held for first responders and clinicians. And in that training, they showed a video called First Impressions, and it was put out by the Attorney General of the state of California at that time. And it is a pretty short video that talks about the direct impact of violence on children and their later mental health. And I will never forget, at one point, the clinician who's being interviewed said that if you have been subject to abuse in your childhood home, you are going to have symptoms. But children who are exposed and witness violence, abuse, contempt, all these kind of domestic violence things that aren't just hitting, you have a 25% higher chance of developing a mental health diagnosis than if you were the actual hands-on victim. And I was blown away by that. So people can say, like, well, you know, my dad never hit me or my mom never hit me. But if you witnessed in your childhood violence, even if it wasn't towards a person, but an out of control rage or anger, you were significantly impacted and it can affect your later mental health.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. That I didn't realize that you had had that experience. That is so interesting. I was thinking about, as we were preparing for this episode and reading different peer-reviewed articles, I came across an article about the COVID-19 pandemic and how children with childhood trauma during COVID-19, so that's a collective trauma on top of your childhood trauma, had a dramatic increase in depression symptoms, 76%. Of the, 450 participants of this particular study, the average age was 14 and a half years old. If they had been exposed to childhood trauma, and the prevalence of depression during COVID-19 was 76%. And that increased by 23% if they had childhood trauma. So we had a lot of school children who weren't doing well during COVID-19 and had depression. And if they had childhood trauma, their rates of depression increased by 23%. And that's significant.
And I think about, I know one of the things that was really concerning at the time with the, sheltering in place and the isolation was for children that had less than ideal dynamics at home and how now they couldn't even escape to school. Because they were in the dysfunction or the dynamics 100% of the time for months. And I know that that was a really big concern. And there weren't really a lot of options. There were so many unknowns. We were trying to stay alive. And so that sheltering in place and that isolation became a way to protect ourselves physically. And it also had a really profound impact on people.
It did. Anxiety symptomology among school children in this study was about 62%. When they looked at children with childhood trauma, there was an increase by 55% in anxiety symptoms. So depression and anxiety, of course, skyrocketed during a stressful situation. So that is all to really kind of pay attention to how childhood trauma, when that's your foundational experience of childhood, that it creates a very wonky, if you will, a mental health foundation. And so when other stressors come, you're more susceptible. And that's what we see with diagnoses, that when other stressors come with adult life, which adult life is very stressful, marriage and children and employment or unemployment, Those are all affected by your childhood experiences, including childhood trauma.
Yes. And it's important to note that a couple of these meta-analyses that we looked at identified that it's not just in the home, but it can also be bullying. Bullying was also marked as a significant precursor to potential mental health diagnoses. And one of the meta studies used 124 studies and talked about how people who had physical abuse, emotional abuse, neglect, or bullying had more incidents of drug use, a variety of mental health diagnoses, suicide attempts, high-risk sexual behavior, and STIs. And while some of the studies may have been flawed in that they didn't account for other contributors, there's enough going on with this meta-analysis that we can see that there is a direct link.
So as we begin Mental Health Awareness Month, in May, here we are, pay attention, I guess what we want to call out is just pay attention to how trauma is really at the root of a lot of mental health issues. Not every single one of them, but a lot more than we've previously understood. And if you are having symptoms of depression, anxiety, if you are over drinking or turning to substances more than you're comfortable with, just don't underestimate what childhood trauma, the effect it can have on you. And I know a lot of us try and minimize some of the things that happened to us earlier as if time will help us get over it. But indeed, we know that time actually doesn't help us recover from trauma. Only working through the trauma helps us recover. So we just want to encourage you to keep that in mind. Pay attention to some of your own symptoms and how, you know, what resources you want to turn to in order to kind of start addressing that. And of course, we have a program, we have a nervous system journal, there's lots of books we've referenced on our podcast, and a lot of help out there if you're needing
it. Yes, there, and there's a lot of hope. I think also that if we can notice without judgment some of the symptoms that we have. And one phrase that I like to use is, what are the contributors to XYZ? So it's not, I overdrink because I had a bad childhood. It's my bad childhood may contribute to my abuse of alcohol.
Yeah. And as always, just remember that everything that you did or didn't do has gotten you to this place where you're still alive. And for that, we're grateful. And when we learn more, we can make different choices. And that's why we're here.
Yep. I had a friend that once said to me, you have 100% survival rate so far, which is exactly what Amy's referencing. The idea that everything that we did or didn't do, all the coping that we did or didn't do, still got us to this place where we're alive and surviving. And now we can, as we have energy and internal resources, we can make choices about where to go next.
Absolutely. Well, thanks everyone for joining us, and we look forward to being with you next week.
Have a great week, everyone.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Mending Trauma Podcast. Lane and I are really grateful that you spend time with us each week. We know you have a choice and that time is currency. We would love if you would share this episode on social media and tag us so we can reshare. If you feel so inclined, go and give us a 5-star review wherever you listen to pods so that we can get the word out and help more people. We know that we are all working hard on our mental health, and we wish you great success this week in implementing these new skills. We'll check in next week.